Kiefer Sutherland was arrested early Monday in Hollywood after a reported altercation with a rideshare driver, Uber, I guess.
I'm not saying he was drunk, but it was a Waymo.
One battle after another, which was fantastic. I watched it 6 times. Well, my favorite part was seeing Spicoli's boner.
You dick!
Welcome to this week's show. This is episode 2 of season 11 of Radio Labyrinth. And Lizzie put some people in a tizzy. And we're going to talk about that first because that was fascinating to me. Now, last week we had a wonderful guest on our program.
Let's have him on every week.
Yes, I know. Mr. Randy Havens, who is Mr. Clark on Stranger Things, he came on. We talked about the fan conspiracies and, you know, his career in Atlanta film. But most specifically, we talked about Stranger Things in the final season. And the topic of queer baiting came up.
There were accusations that the show was queer baiting, which would be like teasing the potential of a romantic relationship between like same sex characters. Right.
Yeah.
And since I haven't watched that season yet, I really wasn't sure what you guys were talking about. I knew that one of the characters, was his name Will, ended up coming out to his friends. And so we talked about it. And there were a lot of interesting comments, which we're not going to share too much of. Thank you for your comments, by the way. If you were new and you left the comments last week and you're back this week to say, hey, what are they going to talk about this week? Thank you for leaving a comment. Maybe I'll read a couple of them. I don't know. Should I? Should I not?
Yeah.
Yeah, sure.
All right, before I read any of the comments, break down really quick what happened and why people are upset.
I said they didn't queer bait. You know, it wasn't an uneducated opinion, and it definitely was not meant to be insensitive. But, you know, man, that's just my opinion. I think they got upset because they felt it was insensitive, felt that was dumb to say they weren't queer baiting because Will and Mike didn't end up together on the show.
Okay.
Right? And that was just that. That's a fan theory. Like, if you just watch the show for what the show is, time travel theory holds more weight than that. Like, it was always going to be unrequited love.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you're watching the show for the show and you're not listening to fan theories and you're not watching the interviews. And as far as the interviews go, they said, oh, well, it was queer baiting because they didn't talk about it in the interviews. But I'm pretty sure they couldn't talk about it in the interviews because they all signed NDAs. They can't talk about the season before the season comes out, you know?
Right. Well, here's what Crooked Dub had to say. The showrunners knew how popular Byler had become, especially after season 4. Yet, they never explicitly shut it down the way they did with Ronance and Stancy. If it was so obvious that Byler was never in the cards, why was it treated like some sort of spoiler in cast interviews? Actors couldn't even talk about Mike and Will's platonic relationship or Will's unrequited love for Mike. Oh, the first time it was hinted that Will's feelings were one-sided was in a live interview Noah did a day before Volume 2 dropped. They had 3 years to shut it down. They had 2 seasons to give Will a proper love interest and 2 seasons to have Mike clearly reject Will, yet they left it until the very last second. It is queer baiting. They knew the ship had a large fan base, but they refused to shut it down, which gave fans hope that it would happen. They never said Will's arc was only about self-acceptance until after Volume 2. If it was solely about Will, why did they center this entire arc around Mike starting in Season 3 and never explicitly shut the ship down until after the finale? They knew what they were doing, Lizzie.
Well, they might have known what they were doing, but if you go back to Season 4, and you go back, there's a scene where they're in the van together, Mike and Will. They're sitting in the back seat. Mm-hmm. And Will's extremely, like, upset, has his back turned to the window, and Mike is completely oblivious to it. To me, right. That doesn't scream that's Mike's love interest. That screams he doesn't really, he's not even sensitive to notice that. Like, he's in mm-hmm. love with Eleven, you know?
All these comments are coming from a point of view. This discussion had nothing to do with the show. The fans made it a part of the show to them.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. If you're watching the show for what it is,
they're trying to internalize it and make their point because they want their point made. that doesn't mean that these guys, when they were writing this and making this, wanted to make that a point. The fact that they mentioned it as much as they did and they put those scenes in there was enough to give the character life and give it, you know, a backstory, so to speak. But that wasn't the goal of the show. It's not a show that was hinged on that relationship happening. It just wasn't. If those people want that to happen, they need to make their own show. But it just wasn't what the show was about. It was, you know, it just.
If you want to talk about 80s sensitivities in a show that's set in the 80s, and Eugene Merman does a very good joke on one of his old albums where he's talking about the movie Teen Wolf when Michael J. Fox is about to tell his friend Stiles.
Are you going to tell me you're a fag? I mean, if you're going to tell me you're a fag, I don't think I can handle it.
The Eugene Merman joke is, no, no, I'm a wolf. So let's read the counterpoint from Brown Coatful, who says essentially what Dustin was saying. It is not a show's job to shut down fan theories based on minute details that contradict the story presented. Also, cast and crew did talk about Mike and Will just being friends or about how Byler would not happen. But Byler fans either called them homophobic or claimed they were lying. This includes David Harbour, Gaten Matarazzo, I don't know how to say things, Gavin J. Berman, and Finn Wolfhard. The story was very clear that Will's feelings were one-sided, as the vast majority of the audience were not surprised by that. Y'all baited yourselves with confirmation bias and ignored what the story itself was telling. That is on you. That seems to be a reasoned and doesn't seem to be a spiteful or hateful reply. But as Dustin was telling me, that there are a lot of comments on interviews all over YouTube with some of these cast members all saying the same thing, because there's an organized group of people who, and this stems out of Reddit and the social media subculture that everybody's involved, everybody's in their own silo. So I understand that they might be disappointed a little bit that they didn't get what they want, but I don't know, the old song comes to mind. I beg your pardon, I never promised you a rose garden, or in this case, I never promised you, what are they calling it, Byler?
Yeah, there's so many other things in that show that I could be upset with at the ending that I didn't, like I didn't get things I wanted either.
Like, you know, the relationship between Mr. Clark and Murray.
Yes.
For us Mark shippers.
Yes.
But those were my theories. You know what I mean? That's what I thought was going to happen, or what I thought should happen. But again, I'm not the writer.
We're calling it Baitgate.
Baitgate. That's right.
Baitgate. And
go away.
Go away, Baiton.
You know, it's funny to me, even in the 80s, when you called somebody a queer bait, you were insulting them, not saying that they were writing a story that you thought should have had a different ending.
Get your shit, queer bait. We're going home.
Queer bait. Go ahead.
Me or...
Roby added in, and this one hits home for me because now I want to watch it. Roby said, much like Tim, I never got past season 3. When I finally binged the complete series during Christmas, I thoroughly enjoyed every episode. This series is so well written that it never stopped making you care about the well-being of every character and grabbing you by the feels. I'm not ashamed to say this crotchety old man had teary eyes more than once every season. So that convinces me, and another friend of mine was telling me how much he enjoyed the show. So I am going to do it, and when I do, I will let Lizzie know that I've watched all of them, and then I'll say hi to all of
them. We can talk about it.
And then we can talk about Heat.
Bad actors. A lot of actors getting arrested lately. Why don't we start it off, since, you know, we're still adjacent to the holiday season. I watched Home Alone twice. It's one of my favorite Christmas movies, one of my favorite comedies. Daniel Stern, who was, you know, one of the, what was it? Who was he in the
Marv?
Marv, that's right. Daddy, why did they burn his hand? That's what my son said. Why did they burn his hand? Why did Kevin burn his hand? Well, because he's always out trying to get hookers.
Smell that? Know what that is?
It's fish.
In the tradition of Hugh Grant, Eddie Murphy, and New England Patriots owner Robert Kraft, who, you know, he goes to the restaurant to get the meal. He doesn't try to order it online. Daniel Stern was charged with a misdemeanor count of soliciting prostitution in Ventura County, California. The incident allegedly occurred on December 10th at a motel in Camarillo.
And I mean, is that the worst thing you can do?
No, it's not even near the worst thing you could do.
I mean, did he didn't even get to meet her, did he?
Well, no, she was a police officer. He was cited and released at the scene. No arrest or booking occurred at the time. Prosecutors filed the formal charge this week on the 12th, and his arraignment was scheduled for January 13th as a misdemeanor. He's not required to appear in person and can be represented by a lawyer. He's married with three children. I don't imagine they're children, and hasn't publicly commented on the charge yet. You know, he was in a hotel. He was looking online. He's 68 years old. He had Cialis, or maybe he had Hims. I don't know where he gets his
allegedly.
Oh, what do you mean allegedly?
It was 60- Blue Chew.
Okay, it was Blue Chew. Yeah, it was probably Blue Chew. You know, he turned the sinks on and the bathtub on. He let the water run. And he was waiting for the hooker to come over. Well, it was an officer. And, you know, obviously...
Call me the wet bandit for nothing, lady.
Yeah. And obviously, it's not something he does a lot because he's a celebrity, which means he probably has some money. He can afford it. But when you're... Unless he likes, like, being risky and risking it... Now, you can tell he's a rookie at this because he got arrested.
And if he'd have been in Nevada instead of California, would it even been an issue?
Yeah. Well, if they had a sting going, because prostitution isn't legal in the state. It's only legal in certain areas.
No, it has one.
Yeah, it breaks down like this, okay.
It's like it's not legal in Vegas. People think that it is, but it is not.
That's why they have the Bunny Ranch outside of Vegas.
Yeah. I used to get invites to go there because we would have that guy on the old radio show, the regular guys. What was his name? Dennis Hoff. And I would book directly with him. And he'd go, hey, man, why don't you come out? You know, and he'd fly you out. I'll take care of you. The girls will take care of you. Come on out. I'm like, I don't want to do that. Fly all the way out there for 30 seconds. nobody wants that. So I don't really have a problem with what Daniel Stern did. I imagine his kids are grown up unless he got married late in life.
But, I mean, if know. I was his wife, I'd be pissed. I probably wouldn't be sitting here going, well, is that the worst thing you could do?
Well, let's look up how old his wife is. Daniel Stern.
Right, and then again, you don't know their relationship either. I mean,
maybe she hadn't been putting out for years.
Well, that, you know? Or just some women are, I mean, yeah, the relationship is what it is for the family, and then they're on their own.
She was in Chud.
Oh, so they must have met on Chud.
It's always out, though.
Because he was in that, too.
Chud is out. Maybe she doesn't want to have sex anymore. You ever think of that?
Yeah, that's what I just said, but yeah, maybe she has been putting out for years.
You don't know what tactic those cops are using either. She could have just been like, give me $5. And he would have like, all right, whatever.
And buy me a pack of smokes.
Yeah.
And I'm at a hotel. Oh, well.
Yeah, that Michelob Light is not considered payment.
No. They've been married a long time. They've been married since, 1980. So,
wow.
So that's a long ass time. They've been married 45 years.
What if she knows he has, you know,
yeah,
an affliction for hookers, you know?
Well, good for him for being, you know, 68 years old and able to do that. Here's another bad actor, Kiefer Sutherland. Actor Kiefer Sutherland. Was arrested early Monday in Hollywood after a reported altercation with a rideshare driver, Uber, I guess. Police say he entered the vehicle, physically assaulted the driver, and made criminal threats toward him during the encounter. The driver did not require medical treatment for injuries. The LAPD arrested Sutherland on suspicion of felony criminal threats following the incident near Sunset Boulevard and Fairfax Avenue.
I'm not saying he was drunk, but it was a Waymo.
Oh,
that was a good joke.
That was great.
He was booked and released after posting a $50,000 bond. His first court date is scheduled for February 2nd, and police are continuing the investigation. Now, I've heard that he probably was drunk, wasn't he? Because he was in there saying, yelling at the guy, I'm a famous actor or something like that. Well, why are you so angry getting into the thing? That's my question.
Well, he's notoriously... I mean, he's even come out and said since his last DUI, he's one of those alcohol enthusiasts, kind of like smokers that want to smoke in public just to piss people off.
Uh-huh.
Because when he had his DUI, he said, I'm not giving up drinking. I'm going to give up driving. So, okay. Yeah, exactly. Spoken like a true alcoholic.
Well, that didn't seem to help.
No, but he I listened to Ralph Garman has the Ralph Report every day. His local bar that he would go to was the same bar that Kiefer would go to. So he was in there drinking with him regularly.
Okay.
And he said that when Kiefer was drinking beer, he was fine. But if he started drinking whiskey or scotch, he gets mean, like a lot of people do.
Right.
And he said, so he's not surprised that the confrontation happened. But yeah, it's nothing new. The Daniel Stern thing, that's kind of surprising. You don't hear that stuff or anything, you know, out of him. It's not something reoccurring. But for Kiefer Sutherland, you know, you go back at least once a decade, there's an issue with Kiefer Sutherland and drinking.
Poor guy. That's all I have to say. Poor guy.
I wish I knew what was said in that cab.
There has to be a recording of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Everything is recorded in those things, right? Don't they have
like for that guy to press charges?
Yeah. Maybe Kiefer was like, why don't you go back to your own country? Try to save the president.
I got Chloe. For you to get me to the airport.
Chloe, get me out of this Uber. And finally, unless somebody gets arrested before the show comes out, Timothy Busfield, who, what is he? He was in 30-something, a show I never watched. The West Wing, a show I never watched. He was supposed to have been in an episode of Law & Order SVU, but that's been pulled. What other series was he on?
Yeah, it was this week's episode.
Yeah.
Supposed to be in. And it was supposed to center around SA. So,
oh, yeah. Wow.
It's kind of ironic.
South Africa?
Yeah, exactly.
I know him as being married to Melissa Gilbert.
Yeah, half pint.
Yeah.
Apparently, he is a big fan of Little House on the Prairie.
I'm a horrible, horrible, horrible person.
So what is he accused of?
Prosecutors in New Mexico. Wait a minute. Hang on a minute. Because there's a new filing today. This is a weird story. He's been accused. Here we go. Busfield, who's known for roles in The West Wing and directing episodes of The Cleaning Lady, has already been charged in New Mexico with 2 counts of criminal sexual contact of a minor and 1 count of child abuse tied to alleged misconduct involving 11-year-old twin boys he met on the TV show's set. Prosecutors are asking a judge to keep him detained before the trial, arguing his conduct shows an ongoing danger to children. He surrendered to police in Albuquerque on the 13th and has denied all allegations, calling them lies in a video statement and saying he will fight the charges. On top of that, and we'll talk about it a little bit, I mean, that video he made, he shouldn't have done that. Prosecutors in New Mexico have added a new claim that another alleged victim, a 16-year-old girl, says Busfield sexually abused her years ago during an audition at B Street Theater in Sacramento. According to court filings, the girl's father says Busfield begged the family not to report the incident to police and to let him get therapy instead. And they agreed to that?
What year was that? I'm sorry.
It doesn't really say what year it is.
It said a few years ago. But
yeah, a few years ago.
Going back, like even with we were talking earlier, the first thing I remember as far as a celebrity being accused of this was him when it happened on 30 something.
It happened that long ago.
And that was a long time ago. Was it 92?
I thought that show was on in the 80s. Was that still on in 1992?
I thought it was 92. Maybe off. But he was accused of it and then settled out of court. So it didn't go to trial. It was right. A civil case. And then 2 years later, he sued the lawyers for the people that got the settlement for defamation and lost.
Oh.
So that happened then. And then, you know, nothing until now. It just, as soon as it popped up that he was doing that, I was like, well, it's... I mean, look at his history. It's bound to come back around again. And I hate that it would happen, but
we don't know and we can't say. Everything's an allegation. It just looks weird that he disappeared and he said he drove 2,000 miles. Why didn't he just fly?
Well, he said in the video that he wanted to secure a lawyer first.
Mm-hmm.
Before he walked in blind and right. You know, didn't have any representation. So, you know, well, you know, whatever. He did turn himself in. I think the video was probably a little overkill, a little projection too much.
Well, Melissa Gilbert deleted all of her social media.
Yeah. There was an internal investigation done Right.
Yeah, by now, the allegation for the two boys, he was directing the cleaning lady. He was directing that, and they had a little boy character that was there. And so they hired two twins, of course, like a lot of them do. They hire twins so they can use them because of child labor laws. They were cut out of the finale and not going to be put in the next season. It was just a writing decision to write the kids out. And the mother, people think that it's retaliation by the mother who wanted the, you know, wanted her kids to be stars, and this guy's keeping them from that. So, you know, it does fall in line with he had those previous allegations. You know, they've had a year or so to think about it, and you know, it made sense that that would be the avenue if they were retaliating against him.
But the internal investigation found nothing. But I guess it doesn't say much if they're hired by, they're going to protect their own, right?
Well, yeah. I don't think they'll protect their own as much. They got to, you know, it's CYA when it comes to a lot of this stuff for the studios. And if Warner Brothers, you know, they came in and they did, they had an investigation there. They said there's nothing at all that they found. And so they cleared it. And that's why it seems odd, because it was a long wait since those allegations were cleared by the studio, and then this pops up, you know, so many months later.
Is this going to affect any sort of Revenge of the Nerds reboot? Because Poindexter is crucial to that film. Lizzie, you've seen that, right?
Yeah, Revenge of the Nerds.
You know that he's in it. He's the guy plays the violin.
I wouldn't have even put that together. Yeah. I mean, it's been so long since I've seen it, but yeah, I've definitely seen it.
I watched the scene where they do the performance at the talent show, and I like everything until Lamar comes out and he's wearing that Michael Jackson jacket, and I don't think it's that guy singing because it's so effeminate and it's stereotypical, and you know they really gate him up, mm-hmm. you know, because that movie is all stereotypes and a lot of bad stuff happens, like the bouncy house romantic bouncy house
yeah.
scene, or I'm sorry, the bouncy house South Africa scene.
The boys in the mills are clapping along. Da 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 da.
You never get away with making a movie like that today. Everything.
Was I watching that like when I was little? Because I just said yes, I've definitely seen it, but I was so young that I just have like basic memories of the movie.
I was about 13 or 14 when it came out, so recorded it off of HBO and watched it over and over again, like I did everything else.
Yeah.
Have you liked that movie?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, first one.
Problematic.
Actually, I like the second. I prefer the second one to the first one.
What?
Yeah.
You're not allowed on this show.
The stupidness of it. It's dumb anyway, but I mean, I like it. I liked it better. Just, I don't know. I don't know if it was the, it was just.
I like Ogre's redemption arc.
If C-A-T really spelled dog.
Wow, yeah, that's heavy, Ogre.
I don't even remember that movie, other than Courtney Thorne Smith was in it. I remember that.
Yeah. She was the babe in it.
Yeah, but the first one is still great. And then what's his name? Anthony Edwards was, what, too popular? He didn't want to be in the sequel, so. I don't know what to think about this Timothy Busfield thing. It's not funny, so, I mean, I have a lot of jokes, but I'm not going to make them. Just because kid stuff, it's not funny. I don't know. If they did an investigation already, it's not one of those things, like, it's not like, you know, something political where you can just make up your mind right away. You gotta let it mellow a little bit. Although I think Kiefer Sutherland's definitely in trouble. But Timothy Busfield's not going to get work for a long time, if ever again. Because, look, Kevin Spacey doesn't get work anymore. I would say he's by far a superior actor. And they won't let me do anything because, even though I was found not guilty.
I mean, does Hollywood know something we don't if they've blacklisted him? Or are they just going with...
Well, the reaction. You saw the reaction to you just saying one thing.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Your own opinion about something. Spacey was alleged to have sexually... God, we can't be grown-ups because of YouTube's algorithms. Spacey was, you know, alleged to have South Africa'd somebody. But even if he didn't, he's blackballed. And then he started making those weird videos. Now, he went to Epstein Island, and he would go to England all the time. And I think he was friends with Prince Charles, or one of them.
What I'm saying. Does Hollywood know something we don't? And they're like, okay, he's kind of been outed. Let's not mess with him anymore.
Yes.
Well, I mean, are they just listening to the chants of the crowd?
Well, yeah. I mean, ultimately, the audience is who buys the tickets, who buys the merchandise, who you know, enforces these things. So if the public outcry is negative, then they're going to shy away from it. It's just that's just business.
Well, those are the bad actors. If you have any thoughts on what we're talking about or you want to add anything to it, please leave us a comment right below. That's all you got. Labyrinth is also brought to you by The Punchline. Tucked inside the legendary Landmark Diner, The Punchline remains Atlanta's longest-running premier comedy nightclub, where you can get a huge slab of cake or pancakes to satisfy any cravings you have while you're laughing. Coming up at The Punchline, January 15th through the 17th, Greg Fitzsimmons. The 18th of January, Robin Shaw. On the 22nd, Kieran Feehan. On the 23rd through the 25th, Jason Chaney. On January 24th, Leslie Lau. On the 30th through the 31st, comedian and actor Steve Byrne. And then February 5th through the 7th, it's Brian Simpson. Hey, Patreon members, keep an eye out for our weekly post offering you a chance to win a pair of passes to an upcoming show. Congratulations to our winner this week, Chris Knight. Go to punchline.com. And check out all the shows. Hey, we're not going to talk too much about the Golden Globes.
Who's that? That doesn't look like Kev.
I'm Lizzie.
You have a problem with lispy voices?
No. I'm a big fan. I'm a big fan.
You have a pencil?
I have a pen.
No, we're not going to do the pencil thing this time, Redbox.
Why? Is that why I wasn't on the show for so long? I've been in a box in a basement.
Your hair looks great.
Thanks. I haven't done anything with it in a long time. So, Lizzie, do you got a pencil?
I have a pen.
You have to use a pencil, the eraser part, not the pointy part. And then you got to rub my nub.
Your nub?
Why didn't you brief her on this?
Oh, yeah. We'll have a conversation afterwards.
Afterwards? Well, I'm here to talk about the movie One Battle After Another, which was fantastic. I watched it 6 times. Well, my favorite part was seeing Spicoli's boner.
You dick!
I thought, well, we didn't get to see Spicoli's boner in the movie that he was Spicoli, which is what, Fast Times at Ridgemont High? Yeah, that's a great movie. Remember that scene? Remember that scene in Fast Times at Ridgemont High when Judge Reinhardt was in the bathroom wearing the pirate outfit from his from the seafood restaurant, and he was playing with his wiener? I wish I could do that. I just have a nub. Anyway, so he's in the bathroom thinking about his sister's best friend, and Phoebe Cates, she stands up and she takes her bra or a bikini. God, go find a pencil, asshole.
Look, I can't help you with that.
That's why you put me in a fucking box downstairs, asshole. And I hate this guy. Anyhow, so One Battle After Another is a secretly filmed Benicio del Toro movie, even though he pretends it's about the departed guy living in the woods doing retired revolutionary LARPing. Bad dudes show up, his kid's in danger, and suddenly he's dragged back into overthrowing something. We don't really know what. Society? Vibes? The movie doesn't explain it, but that's okay, because Benicio del Toro enters as Sergio Sensei St. Carlos. And the film immediately levels up. Sensei is part mentor, part underground wizard, part guy who doesn't know where every body is buried and won't raise his voice about it. He doesn't talk much, he just exists. And everyone else starts acting better out of fear and respect for Benicio del Toro Sensei. Did you like the scene where West-Eating Gilbert Grape's wife dominates Spicoli? That's when she makes him get a boner, and then she goes to the hotel. No spoilers. But Spicoli is in it, and he's trying very hard to sound like he wants a pizza, and he doesn't have a voice problem. Also, like mentioning the Titanic guy. Once he's in the movie, he starts yelling a lot and smoking a lot of pot, and that's what I like. This guy sits in his... Shut up. There are a lot of other people whose main job is to stand near Benicio del Toro and be losers and not as good as acting. Sensei is not a side character. He's the thesis of the film. He represents every resistance, quiet, organized, unglamorous, and effective. and handsome. Every scene he's in suddenly feels smarter, heavier, and worth your time. So yeah, it's about the revolution, family, and consequences, but mostly it's about Benicio del Toro walking in, blinking twice, and stealing the whole damn movie. I give it 5 squirts.
Nice.
5 squirts of the semen demon.
So you're like a huge Benicio del Toro fan.
I love Benicio del Toro. Yes. He'll flip you. He'll flip you for real. Give me the money, you cocksucker. Do I have to go back in the box? No, you don't have to go back in the box. You do not, but you have to stay in the trunk. Okay. All right.
That's almost like a red box. It's just horizontal instead of vertical.
I miss the red box.
It's got shittier movies.
What, my trunk or Tim's basement? The guy, all he does is listen to fucking audiobooks and podcasts. All right. Tim's hand is getting sore, and he needs it for later.
Bye, right, red box.
Thank you.
Bye. It was nice meeting you.
Radio Labyrinth is brought to you by Atlanta Pizza in Euro, your local family-owned pizzeria and the place to get local craft beer and great food that's always made fresh to order. They're open Monday through Friday from 11 to 9, Saturdays from 12 to 9, and they are closed on Sundays. Now, I've been trying to explain to my son why Chick-fil-A is closed on Sundays, but he's not getting it. Why would they want to stay with their families? The food truck is once again on winter break, but probably in early March, it'll come out of break. Give us a call if you have a corporate or private event that you're interested in possibly booking. As always, we thank you for your continued support and for listening to the absolute best podcast around, Radio Labyrinth. We're also brought to you by LDI Repro Printing. Do you have a commercial or residential construction printing need? Sure, we all do. Well, what are you waiting for? Contact LDI Repro Printing of Athens. They've been in Athens, Georgia since 2005, which, if you're like me and good at math, is 20 years. With fast turnaround and affordable prices, call 706-316-9366, or you can email them at athens@ldiline.com.
News, views.
Or.
And snooze.
News. Yeah, we didn't do it last week, but it would have been the Marcelo Hernandez special, the Golden Globes, and The Pitt, which came back this week. So good.
People love that Pitt show. I have got to get into it. Everybody I know loves that show.
Is it a new day?
I'm so glad it's back. Yeah, this is set over July 4th.
Okay.
Why
it's like several months later. All right, this week, Hijack comes back for season 2, the Idris Elba show.
Mm-hmm.
Did you watch that season 1 where the plane got hijacked?
No.
This time it's going to be a train.
Cool.
I think it was called the bus that wouldn't slow
down. And then I'm excited about this one, Star Trek Starfleet Academy. This is about the Starfleet Academy. Paul Giamatti is the big star of this.
Holly Hunter.
Yeah. That's a good Holly honor.
You,
my finance
left. As much as you, I got to, just this is just my opinion of what I've seen clip wise and everything else from it. It is like if to me, the scenes that I've seen, it looks like a high school melodrama in Starfleet uniforms. Like looking at boys like down the hallway, like it's like a high school.
Okay.
It seems like nothing to do with.
So it's like Riverdale and Star Trek universe. Yeah.
If Riverdale was a Star Trek.
Well, then our friend Lisa Krause will watch it. Who's the audience for this? How many kids are going to watch this show? None, right?
It's the all ones people. That are have never watched Star Trek.
Right.
Yeah.
But this is for our generation and maybe some millennials, right?
No, this is for millennials and Gen Z.
Yeah, but the Gen Zers aren't going to watch it.
Yeah.
That they might.
They if might.
There's some queer baiting going on.
Wait, what are you talking?
Shut up. He misinterprets things.
And then this week, Knight of the Seven Kingdoms starts. This is that spinoff of Game of Thrones.
Oh, another one? It starts this week.
Yeah.
Looks pretty good.
What's it say here?
It does look good.
It's like 100 years before the 100 years before the story of Game of Thrones.
So it's after the
House of the Dragon.
Yeah.
Yeah. In between. Right. Yeah.
All right. It's the taint.
And it mostly follows just one like squire who's working his way up to be a knight.
Yeah.
And that's the focus of the show. It's not spread over the whole kingdom.
Well, I'll watch it. I like Game of Thrones stuff. But I also have to watch Stranger Things. Before we wrap up, let's say farewell, fare thee well, to the now late great Bob Weir, one of the founding members of the Grateful Dead. I only saw the original lineup of the Grateful Dead three times. Jeff, you've probably seen it more than that. First time I saw them was with Jeff on July 4th of 1989. I quit my job, no call, no show, because they wouldn't give me the day off. And I went with Jeff. Jeff broke his nose. We've told that story before. You know, subsequently, after Jerry died in 1995, they took a couple of years off. And then, you know, Bob and they got the show on the road again. There was what? The Other Ones. There was Further.
Rat Dog.
Rat Dog. That was his band. Just all sorts of things. But over the years living in Atlanta, I've had many opportunities to see them, see Bobby. And I didn't know he was ill, for one thing. So, you know, it's one of those things where it was shocking to me. But it's really sad. The last time we saw him was 2 years ago, and that was a really good show. And we had pretty good seats. We saw them at Lakewood. But it's sad, you know, there's the end of an era. There's only two living members, and it's the drummer.
Yeah, the two drummers.
Yeah, Kreutzmann.
And Bill retired, though. So
yeah,
Mickey's really the only one who would still tour, probably.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's over. The music never stopped, but eventually it did. So you think it's sad.
They'll do like a tribute?
There's a bunch of different ways they could go. Everybody could go out on their own. Like, Jeff could tour with his own band.
Yeah.
O'Teal could tour with his own band. I would love it if they would all stay together. Like, John Mayer stays with them, and Jay Lane keeps playing with them, and Mickey, and then O'Teal and Jeff.
I know that guy.
They bring in somebody O'Teal. Like Warren Haynes or somebody.
How do you know O'Teal?
From festivals. He used to play with my former husband.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I mean, like, within festivals.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Oh, they didn't play together? They were just on
I mean, the they did. They would. They would be up on stage together and stuff, but there was multiple festivals, and nice guy. I didn't know, like, I knew his name, but I didn't know, like, they're like, do you know who you're just talking to? And I was like, no.
Yeah.
Well, man, you know, now I'm up here with Jerry and Phil and all 700 of our keyboard players, and we're jamming.
I mean, surely they'll do like a tribute show or
oh yeah, they won't
tour with like John Mayer.
They'll do all sorts of things because the Dead is an industry as well, so they want to keep that music going. I'm not saying that in a negative light at all. I'm just saying that's what it is. So they'll keep it going. Hey, before we go, I want to remind you that you can become a Radio Labyrinth Patreon member. How about that? Radio Labyrinth listeners, you radios, you can support us for the low, low cost of $5 a month. Only $5 a month. That's it. That's the only tier moving forward. You can keep it where it was before or lower it to $5, whatever you want to do. And this is aside from the executive producers. If you're paying more and want to reduce it, go ahead. Tariffs are hitting us hard.
No, they're not. I mean, they're beautiful. The economy's great.
And for anyone on the fence or looking to support us, make sure you add your address to the Patreon profile so we can get it and mail you a thank you letter and our latest sticker. And for the executive producers, we'd love to have you join us as guests on Radios in the Dark. So far, we've had Mike Hall from Atlanta Pizza in Euro and another special guest coming up soon. But it's your show, and you help us keep it going with your generous donations, and we'd love to have you join us for the live Patreon show, Radios in the Dark. For $25 a month, you become a producer, an executive producer, that's your title, and you'll get a sticker, a shirt of your choice from our merch store, and a weekly shout-out on the show, plus the aforementioned opportunity to sit in with us while we record the live Patreon show. So without any further ado, let's thank our most recent additions to the producer column. Pat Squatch Talk Turner, and I will give you a plug for your podcast, Squatch Talk, Pat Turner, Scott Augustine. We also have Mike Walker, John Allen, Matt Carter, Chris Chandler, Mike D, Jim Fortner, Terry Fuller, Roby Neely, Jeff Peterson, Tim Slayton, and Brian and DJ Chelsea Smith. So thank you guys very much for supporting us. All right. Hey, let's wrap it up. I have a podcast radio show on WSB Radio in Atlanta. You can listen to it live every Saturday, usually at 7 p.m. if you have the WSB Radio app, or you can find it as a podcast on your favorite podcatcher. My first show of the year is out and available on your favorite podcatcher. The name of the show is The Tim Andrews Podcast, and the guest is Marshall Childs, who is, he runs comedy clubs. That's his game. I'm a comedy club runner. That's my game. He was recently let go from a very long relationship at the Vortex in Midtown. The name of the comedy club is Laughing Skull, where comedians love to play. And he is now running his, he will be running a brand new comedy club called Whiplash Comedy, and it's going to be in Ponce City Market, right above City Winery, next to Dancing Goat's Coffee. And so you can, once they start doing shows in June, they'll all be listed. And Marshall and I have been friends for a long time. He's a great guy. So there's more to come with that. And then this week on the show, if you're listening to the show in the morning and you're in Atlanta and you want to catch it on the radio, my guest will be a guy by the name of Southside Steve Rickman.
Oh, no way. Yeah. Come on.
Who was recently let go from his morning gig on My Fox Radio. And he is now doing other things, and I'll talk to him about that. We'll revisit some old times and have a good time talking. And then I interviewed Felipe Esparza today, so that.
Oh, no way.
Nice.
Yes. I interviewed him last year, but he had me on speakerphone.
Oh, yeah, the audio was real bad.
Yeah, the bad audio. I remember that.
Yeah, this time he was on a regular phone. And ChatGPT gave me some advice that I adhered to, and it worked out. ChatGPT said, when he answers your question, give him some room because he always goes to a joke. And so I waited, and he had great jokes, and I was laughing. I almost fell out of the chair once. So that'll be coming out soon. Remember to rate and review and like us wherever you listen. If you're on YouTube, leave comments, subscribe, share, like, turn on all that stuff that people beg you to do.
Yell at Lizzie for doing stuff.
Yeah, yell at Lizzie for doing things.
Yeah, I'll take it.
And thank you to our brief guest this week, the Redbox Troll, who I guess will be back. If you guys give me ideas, I'll bring him in. And that's it. So unless there's anything else, please remember to
keep it canon.
What do you say? All good things come to an end.
What's that got to do with this show?